I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of European action in Glasgow. Rangers host Aris Limassol looking to move towards securing Europa League progression. Aberdeen are underway in the Conference League in the snow in Helsinki and trail by a goal to nil. And day two of Celtic's Champions League fallout as attention turns back to the Premiership this weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it's a big night ahead for Rangers because they could be the only Scottish team to progress, and they've got the opportunity to do that tonight at Ibrox and put right what was a big wrong away in Cyprus a couple of weeks ago. Rangers in a different place now, so they'll fancy themselves tonight. And like you say, Aberdeen underway, but nothing to gain, only but financial. If they win the game, they get a hefty pot of money. However, they're 1-0 down, and then there'll be plenty of people wanting their opinion on Celtic and where they go in European football going forward.
Yeah, I think it all lies in Ibrox tonight at 8 o'clock, Gordon. I know Aberdeen are underway, but there's really nothing to play for apart from that money that Mark was talking about there. And the way they're looking, I don't think they're going to come out there with anything. But it's all about Rangers tonight. Positive result. They will have learnt lessons from, you know, Limassol last time. It was a disastrous of a result, you've got to see, and a performance. But the new manager demands a lot better now, and the standards are a lot higher. And I'm sure every Rangers fan going along tonight will expect a good victory.
Oh, Aberdeen almost going 2-0 down. The ball skiffs the crossbar. But over to you, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, especially if you're heading to the game tonight, maybe you're getting in the car, on the bus, heading down to the stadium, we love to share that journey with you. So pick up the phone, let us know what you're thinking. How important is this win? That seems a fairly obvious question at this stage of European competition, but there are a few different permutations. Obviously looking to get some sort of European football after Christmas, looking to progress to the next round, maybe even looking to win the group. So what are you thinking ahead of Aris Limassol tonight? How much of an improvement are you expecting from the corresponding fixture over in Cyprus? And who would you play? Are there still one or two areas? You look at the centre-back area, it's bound to be makeshift because Conor Goldson can't play. Leon Balogun's not in the squad. So are we looking at Ben Davies, John Souter? Or is there someone else out there we've not thought of? You know, Todd Cantwell, Tom Lawrence. Who and where are you fitting in that area of the pitch? And anything else that you want to talk about with regards to the team? 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, it is only day two. Maybe the dust has settled a bit. Maybe a bit of the emotion has gone out, and it's a bit more of an analytical look at not only the failure in this season's Champions League, but something that's clearly been plaguing the club at this level for quite a while. So what do you think now? 2 days on from Rome, 0141 951 1025. How do you look back on it now? Where does the team need to go from here? If there are any Aberdeen fans who are watching the game and want to watch with us, again, same number, or send us a tweet. And we didn't even get round to talking about sin bins on last night's show. It's very much in the news at the moment. Would it be a welcome or a welcome addition or a pain in the backside? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025. Tough old start this for Aberdeen, isn't it?
Certainly is. I mean, it's not only the weather as well.
I was going to say, as the question goes, what's Helsinki like at this time of year? Freezing. Absolutely freezing.
Freezing, snowing, and we've got the old red ball out. And must admit, I'm struggling to still see the red ball with the snow lying now on the pitch, but they're struggling to get to grips with the game anyway, because Helsinki, shown in these opening stages, are not a bad side. But Aberdeen, few changes from the team that faced Rangers on Sunday. They're not quite clicking at the minute.
0141 951 1025. Pick up the phone, let us know what you're thinking. We will start with the game at Ibrox tonight, more than likely. So give us a call. Rangers fans, are you heading down? You get the long johns on, surely, in these conditions. What are you expecting when you get there? How important is a win? What type of performance do you want to see? Of course, bouncing back from Pittodrie disappointment at the weekend. And who should play? Let's answer all the questions that Philippe Clement has to face in about an hour and a bit's time. 01419511025 to set the scene for you at a chilly Ibrox is Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards European coverage with Trusteed Scotland. For life after debt, visit trusteedscotland.net.
Gabriel, what's happening there then? It'll be quiet at the moment. What, give us a rundown of how important tonight is.
Yeah, well, Gordon, you say it's a chilly night here at Ibrox. It is freezing cold, but a massive game about to take place in front of our eyes. If Rangers win, then they will progress to the knockout stages. It's that simple. And what a turnaround it has been since the last time they faced Arras. Nearly 2 months ago, they were managerless, they seemed directionless, and their future in this competition looked uncertain after that embarrassing 2-1 defeat in Cyprus. But since then, Philippe Clement has come in. He's unbeaten in his 8 games in charge, and he is ready to take the next step in Europe. It might not be plain sailing though. Defending concerns, as you touched on just there, Gordon. Connor Goldson suspended, Ridvan Yilmaz and Leon Balogun cannot play as they're not in the European squad. Ryan Jack and Nico Raskin are not yet fit. We could see that centre-half pairing of John Suter and Ben Davies. It'd be interesting to see how it might work. You rarely see a Rangers team without the rock that is Connor Goldson at the heart of the back line. But the Jers are on a great run here. We know this place has always been a fortress on big nights like these. They've won their last 5 home games in the Europa League. It's their best record in the competition for nearly 40 years. A quick run through some of the permutations because it's all moving at the moment. We do know that a win is good enough to see them progress. Keep an eye on the early game over in Prague. Now, if Real Betis win, then a draw will be enough to get Rangers through. However, it would only see them through to the last 32 round. That would be in second place. And what Clement ideally wants is victory tonight and then a shootout in Seville in 2 weeks' time against Betis for top spot. That's because first place takes you straight into the last 16, skipping an entire round and avoiding any dropouts from the Champions League. What about the visitors then, Aris Limassol? Do they have any hope of qualifying? They're currently bottom of the group. They've only got 3 points, meaning Rangers are the only team they've got a result against. 2 wins would see Aris progress, although defeat could see them eliminated tonight. They've lost 3 of their last 6 games. I told you it's cold, Gordon. It's 1 degree right now. It'll drop to -3 by the second half, and we could even see some fog in here. Be an interesting spectacle. I'll bring you team news when it comes, just before 7 o'clock.
That was a full weather. Once he added the fog, I thought this is extensive.
He's got so much info.
I must admit, it's probably the same temperature in this studio as well, to be honest. So it won't
feel too different. Listening to Sean Batty coming in.
Could you just repeat those permutations for me for Rangers?
Could you remind me? A win tonight, the progress.
Right.
Over in Prague, if Betis don't, then the goes to the last game for the
Betis
last.
Don't what? Sorry,
don't win. Goes to the last game for the last 16 or 32.
He's got that wrong, Gabriel, hasn't he?
Gordon, you're not listening to what I'm saying.
I can't, mate. Listen, I've listened to you long enough.
One more time for him.
Very simple. If Rangers win tonight, they will be guaranteed a place in the knockout stages. But if Real Betis win, if they win in Prague, then Rangers will only need a draw. But that would mean they finish second. They don't want that because that means they'll go into the last 32. Ideally, they want top spot straight into the last 16, skipping an entire round.
There we go. Crystal clear. 01419511025. Graham is going to kick things off.
I prefer the weather.
Graham, what are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, lads. I'm on the M74 car park on the way to the game.
Oh, dear.
After Gabe acting on this one. the reason I'm calling tonight is I've got a wee bit of a concern about the effectiveness of Todd Cantwell on the right hand side of the midfield. I think we're losing a lot with him out there. He's not prolific at putting cross balls, etc. across. I'd quite like to see a dedicated winger. And I'm wondering whether maybe he perhaps brings in Rabbi Matondo tonight, plays him on the left, Seema on the right, and then put Cantwell at a 10 at the front of the midfield behind Danilo. I think he's more effective there. And I'm just wondering what the guys think about that as a possible formation change.
I do agree that Cantwell on the right hand side of the three, I think he gets lost a little bit. He starts chasing the ball. He starts to get involved on it. And I don't blame him for that. He likes to be involved in the game. Interesting tonight, Matondo at Ibrox. He's come back. He come on as substitute up at Pittodrie. Bit of pace, too wide. Players, Seema as well, try to create plenty of chances. It'd be a case then that if Cantwell did get into number 10 spot, where does Lawrence go? Does he drop back in with Lindstrom in the middle of the park to make that two? I don't think so. So I've got a funny feeling, Matondo, it's a bit early. I totally understand Graham's point of view from it, but I think he'll stick with Cantwell, Lawrence and Seema as the three behind Danilo.
To be fair, I suppose the one main moment of effectiveness from Todd Cantwell in that area came in the last game, Mark, Sparta Prague. You can see the goal, he comes in, it was a very nice goal and scored it to put Rangers 2-0 up. But I think generally most Rangers fans would definitely agree with Graham. There's a bit of a Todd Cantwell predicament brewing here, in that they clearly like him and they think he's talented, but is he as effective in this current Rangers setup as he could be?
No, I don't believe he is. I don't believe he's a right midfielder, right winger, whatever you want to call that position. I don't think you get the best out of him. But I think it's a classic case just now for Clement, is play your best players. And Cantwell's certainly one of Rangers' best players, but so is Lawrence when he's come back fit. So he's juggling who to play where, and he's obviously thinking he can get a lot more from Lawrence in that kind of number 10 role. And he's just trying to fit Cantwell in wherever he can, wherever there's a space. You're never going to drop Seema on the other side. So Matondo's never really done enough. McCausland,
signed a new contract.
Is definitely a positive there. But I think Cantwell is being played there just to get him in the starting 11. And, you know, Cantwell will be happy he's playing, but I bet you he wants a goal in his preferred position, which is definitely the middle of the pitch, where he contributes much more, in my opinion.
Just remind me, Graham, sorry, what was your solution? You still wanted Cantwell in the team tonight, yeah?
Yeah, so my suggestion was possibly to play him central behind striker as a number 10 and put two wide players out.
So no Tom Lawrence then?
Good point, actually. I never actually thought
just play 12. I think that sometimes is a good solution.
Play 12, you've got a great chance of winning.
That is the difficulty, joking aside, isn't it? Because
you wonder tonight's, you know, opposition, no, the amount of the ball you're going to have, are you really going to need two defensive minded midfielders? Could Lundstrom not sit there, and you could go with Cantwell and Lawrence in there to create? I think the other tie in Cyprus. It was a totally different occasion, totally different experience for Rangers. They were in a...
Bearing in mind, at the weekend, it was Cifuentes and Lundstrom, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jack's obviously injured.
I might be wrong.
Passed me on the motorway today, presumably going in for treatment.
Okay.
Do you wave?
No.
I'm not sure Cifuentes is going to cut it this season for Rangers. I think there's a few ahead of him. But I just wonder if you could get away with playing one defensive midfielder.
I don't think he will, Mark.
Is it Philippe Clement's style?
No, I don't think he will.
I'm looking at all of his games so far and can't really see a time. Hearts at home, no, Rask and Lundstrom both played.
He'll play with his two.
Listen, he changed his formation to 3-5-2, was it, when away in Prague, so he's not scared
in
to change.
In terms of that midfield area, though.
I just think it's too early for Matondo. I know he come on.
What about McCausland then?
Yeah, I like McCausland. Signed a new contract, obviously. He'd be very high in confidence. I just think these are impact players tonight for me. I think he'll start with his normal 4-2-3-1. I think Cantwell will play off the right-hand side. And then if he needs the likes of the width and the pace, he's then got different options.
So no McCausland from the start yet, Graham. You think that still down the line before that happens?
Yeah, possibly, to be honest with you. What I hadn't thought about as well is, obviously, with Colton being out tonight, we might need two sitting, because obviously Suter's not played a while. If you get the nods, so it's going to be probably Suter and Davis who might need extra cover kind of sitting in front of them, just in case this team, because they are quick. This team, they may not be that prolific, but they are quick. So, Lawrence might have been the one that would have dropped out for me, I have to be honest with you, because I really do feel when Cantwell's on fire, he needs to be in a good place on the park. But yeah, McCausland, I think, one certainly that we're still working on, maybe not ready to start, especially a game that we really, really, really need to win.
Yeah, on that, I mean, there are a few permutations. I take it they do kind of speak for themselves. I don't know if there's any wild theories to be had, but you know, you want to top the group, you know, and then get that easier, or you know, skip around if you like. And in terms of progression, is it just about taking care of the own your own business? I suppose it's a weird one because the Betis game's early, isn't it? So you'll sort of know a bit more about the picture by the time you kick off at Ibrox.
It's just going to put us in our strongest position if we win our home game against the team at the bottom of the league. No disrespect to them, but this is the team that we would have picked as we should have been two wins. You know, obviously we didn't manage it away, but you know, in order for us to get a chance of winning the group, and that's what we really want to do, helps with the fixture congestions and all that to get straight into 16 rather than 32. All of that kind of bodes well. So I would suggest that we have to absolutely go for it tonight, hammer them.
Yeah, Limassol went to Betis and lost 4-1. You look at, you know, some of the other results in European competition, probably gives you the 2-0. Best
2-0 Aberdeen,
2-0
down.
Helsinki. Yeah. Ooh, it's a tough one.
No money tonight.
It's a very tough game so far. Yeah, like I said, went to Betis and lost 4-1, lost 1-0 at home to Betis. These are the ones that have been since the Rangers game, Mark. As Graham says, they probably don't fall into that, like, they're clearly not European minnows that, you know, that we sometimes rhyme off when we talk about unthinkable results. They're not quite at that level, but clearly low seeds in the group. Rangers at home. It's anticipated, yeah, that when Graham gets there and it's -4 or whatever Gab says it is, that it's a comfortable win.
It should be. Let's be honest. It really should be, because if you can take care of Betis at home and you can take care of Prague at home, then you should be able to take care of Aris Limassol at home. And I believe they will. Again, I'll go back to the first game between them. That Rangers were in a totally different place. They'd just come off the back of their manager being sacked. They were disjointed. There was a real lack of quality and effort. But it's been transformed since then. There's a real energy about Rangers at the minute, and particularly in European nights as well. Ibrox seems to be the place in this competition that Celtic Park used to be on Champions League nights. It always seems to bring the best out of the players. So I don't think it'll be a difficult match for Rangers at all. I mean that the greatest respect to Aris Limassol, but I think Rangers will have too much, even with those important players missing.
I agree with that. The only danger is this is a team in their last 8 games who only failed to score once. So there's goals in them if you give them the opportunity. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see who plays in the defence tonight, centre of the defence.
Does it not pick itself?
Yeah, I think Souter and Davis, I think we'd all go with that.
Both, you know, have done well at times for Rangers, but it's not ideal, is it? As Gabriel said, Conor Goldson's just always there, it feels like.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it'll be Michael Beale where he'll move Lundstrom back in there at defence and maybe go with a 3 and stick his 2 wing-backs very high up to get the width. I just think the team picks itself tonight. It'll be interesting.
We've just debated the team for the last 15 minutes. Now you're telling me it picks itself.
Well,
in my opinion, it picks itself tonight. My team's there.
What's Clermont doing if the team's picking itself?
So
do you want a team? And Gabs will read
itself.
It out with the weather.
I'll tell you why it doesn't pick itself. Because I can see his paper and he's got Ryan Jack on there that he scrubbed it.
No, it didn't. No, it did not.
100%. Show the paper to the camera.
Go on then.
Butland, Tavernier, Souter, Davis, and Barisic. Right. Cifuentes, Lundstrom, Cantwell, Lawrence, and Sima with Danilo.
Good man. Thank you, Graham. Enjoy the game. Hopefully the traffic is progressing well. Anyone else out there on your way to the game? Even if you're not, we don't discriminate. If you want to sit at home and watch it and give us a call, please do. 01419511025. Graham wanted to see Todd Cantwell moved, wanted to see, as a result, Tom Lawrence drop out. Would you agree with that? Or do you have any alternative thoughts? 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Patrick patron saints of Patter. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard on St Andrew's Day.
Do you like that? Little bagpipes. Clyde One Super
beautiful.
Scoreboard theme tune.
Beautiful. I forgot it was St Andrew's Day. Yeah, aye, that's brilliant. It's like Spence Spare. Who was playing
what,
that?
Wait till you see the haggis coming in.
The reason we were all sort of stunned and shocked and caught off guard because Aberdeen have just pulled one back in stunning fashion. A volley from outside the box, rifled into the top corner.
McDonald.
As a wonder.
Oh, McDonald.
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
Ties into the Scottish team.
I was going to say Angus McDonald.
Yeah. Oh, McDonald.
There you go.
But an incredible strike, and it was maybe going to take something like that because Aberdeen were two down, were really up against it. They were miles out of this game. But there we go, game on.
They've been dreadful. And
what a goal.
Aye, McDonald's just been booked as well. But they really struggling to get to grips with this game. That's really been. I was going to say their first attack wasn't even an attack. 25 yards out.
You think you heard the bagpipes calling?
How was that, huh?
And then just
what do you usually do in St Andrews Day? Anything?
Me?
Aye.
I fly down and sign my city in St Andrews Day 40 years ago today.
Seriously?
Did you? Yeah. That sounds like we've set that up.
This is because the reason
my mate phoned me today.
I was going to say someone must have told you because you can't remember anything about your career. You reckon you signed for City
40 years to today and it was a Thursday. In St Andrew's Day.
Great stat. Great knowledge. You sure?
I was on the flight.
Gordon DL.
And I was like, who's this Andrew? Must be his birthday. We're all singing.
What, they announced it
on the flight?
On the flight?
Yeah.
And it was St Andrew's Day?
Oh, St Andrew's Day when I was flying down. Yeah, we got shortbread and all that. I don't know if I get shortbread. I hang it just.
That was good. Yeah, that's a lie.
He actually can't help himself but adding some false details. Maybe, because you're right.
Maybe it was a steak pie.
City signed Gordon DL 30th November 1983, 40 years ago to the day.
I wasn't even born. How bad is that?
There you go. I was on the flight down. Walked into City.
So my birthday's June. Right, so what's 9 months back for June?
No, let's not go down that road.
November,
I think you're going to regret that.
You think
Mr. and Mrs. Wilson were so happy that he signed for Man City that they conceived you?
Maybe.
True story, right?
Walks into Main Road and...
Who signed you again?
Billy McNeil.
So it was.
And
sat down
and turned round and I heard, Gordon, how are you? Welcome to Manchester City. And I was, how you doing, law man? And it was Dennis Law. True story. May I never move off this seat. And had a good chat with Dennis, just talking about the old days and what I was going to bring and how.
Don't add this stuff because this is true. It's confirmed it was 40 years ago.
Dennis Law,
Was there?
Yeah, Dennis Law was sitting having a chat with
all the rubbish he talks, that's quite good.
What a revelation. 40 years ago today, Gordon Wilson signed.
Gordon Wilson?
Gordon DL signed for Man City and Mark Wilson was conceived. There you go. Things you never needed to know.
What a night that was.
On a Thursday night or any other night. Let's hear from Philippe Clement if we can. These were his thoughts on the game tonight.
You can qualify with still one game to play. It's a big thing. There's not many teams in Europe who can qualify already now. We're gonna grab it with two hands to try to do it tomorrow evening. No, with three hands, because I expect the hand of the fans also. I don't want that they think about that, about the last game, because it always can create some negativity in your head. No, I want that they continue what they've been doing until now. I want to create winners, and winners are for me people who always want to win. Next game, going full, and knowing if you can win that, you make a really big step, because you can play in Europe after January.
This game does just kind of speak for itself. It's fairly obvious what the aims are. It's in no way linked to the weekend, but at the same time, you're Philippe Clement, you've come in and it's been a largely a winning run, a disappointment at the weekend. So quite simple, you know, even just wanting to get back to winning ways, I'm sure would come into the thoughts.
Yeah, and how important it is to, you know, keep the European dream alive, Gordon. They're still in a good position. I think everybody fancies them to win tonight. I know that you can look back on that terrible result, terrible performance against Limassol over there. But Rangers are in a different place now. Even at the weekend, as much as, you know, it was a draw and I've heard some Rangers fans coming on a bit disappointed, I thought Rangers had enough chances to win that game. So tonight at home, packed house, I do expect Rangers to win this and win it comfortably.
He leaves no grey areas, you've got to say, when he speaks before and after games. No, very clear. Paints a very clear picture of what he wants from the players. And I think players appreciate that. I think under the previous regime, there was a lot of mixed messages, a lot of things says that weren't particularly true, and players see through that as well. But not with Clement.
Okay, Rangers fans, what are you thinking then ahead of tonight? 01419511025. The previous caller had some thoughts, wanted to see Tom Lawrence drop out, Todd Cantwell move position, Robbie Matondo brought back in. What would your thoughts be? Do you agree or disagree? Give us a call. We do also have some callers wanting to discuss Champions League from Tuesday. Thomas is one of them. You've had an extra day to calm down, Thomas. How do you look back on it all?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Daz and Mark. I just think the performance, we done well, Gordon. You know, I think we're a better team for the first half, and obviously going into the second half. But again, it's just scoring goals. You know, it's just trying to take chances when we've got them. And obviously, my point was obviously on the game, Gordon. But I think, let's say, looking at the bigger picture, I think the board has to be ashamed of themselves. You know, I think we should have strengthened long before this. You know what I mean? We need a goal scorer. We need a striker. And there are players at that club that, personally, I don't think will cut it. I think he'll get rid of a good number of players in January. Like, say, like Kwon, Iwata, I still don't rate him. I know a lot of my friends that like O as a player, I just don't like him. I just don't think he'll cut it off our kid, you know.
When you say a new striker, do you mean to, like, help Kyogo out or to take Kyogo's place? What do you mean?
Probably help Kyogo out, Gordon. I think we need straight. Obviously, Kyogo's the only striker we've got. You know, and it's just we need to build, especially for you. Again, Europe has been a disaster, total embarrassment. You know, out with Christmas again. It's just, I know, obviously, for an every year we get the money, but we're not seeing the money getting spent. You know what I mean? It's just, I just think the board has to have a look at themselves and say, look, if we're going to back Brendan Rodgers, back him, give him money. You know, instead of no gaining money to strengthen the team.
Embarrassing disaster. Mark, would you go as far as that? What words would you use to sum up the campaign?
Well, when you look at the points return in the group that Celtic are in, yeah, that should be much better. I wouldn't say quite embarrassing, because I try and take the performances into consideration as well. And I think for a lot of the games, they've performed well. Apart from the Atletico one away, they've performed well. However, it's becoming now the expected that Celtic will put up a decent performance, however, come out with the same outcome. Where it used to be the opposite. When I was there, before I was there, sometimes we didn't always get a good performance, but we more often not come out with a good result, and that's the difference. And Celtic find themselves the opposite way around, which is where nobody wants to be. But I do think it was glaringly obvious the other night. Brendan Rodgers addressed it after the game immediately. Me watching the game, everybody watching the game, the difference was quality. Lazio bringing the one piece of quality, a striker who can score goals, who can sniff goals out like Immobile can. Celtic don't have that. That cutting edge at the top end of the pitch, that when you do get a half chance or a decent chance, like you've seen Yang get at the back post, Kyogo had a wee sniffy drags back. Other teams in Europe have players that can punish you, and I don't think Celtic have got that. They've got Kyogo to a certain extent, but they've got nobody to challenge
them. I feel like last season was definitely a story of missed chances. Could you really label that at the other night? I know there was one or two, but it wasn't like Celtic passed up loads. Was it not really creating chances? Maybe was a bit more difficult on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know everybody's pointing the finger at, you know, they need a quality striker and more quality players in. But when you play at that level, and Mark will tell you, he's played there many times, you've got to defensively be strong as well. I think Celtic always are easy to give you a goal. They lost a goal the other night there, and then within two or three minutes, terrible defending again. The game's away from them. So as much as you're looking at the forward areas, you've got to address the defence as well. Good teams start for the back. All the best managers in the world will tell you that. You know, the great managers that built great teams always started from their goalkeeper, their back men, worked all the way up, and then hopefully you find the gems up top that can bag you the goal and be the winners. I don't think Celtic have got that just now. I think that Thomas was right. I think January will be very interesting. Now, he's having a go at the board for spending money. I think if you looked at Celtic spend, I think you're looking at two centre-backs as near. I think between them, £7 million or something, is that right? You know, so in Scottish terms for Celtic, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to be put out, and that's only in two players. What I think's happened is, I think they've brought players in and they've not been the quality that they hoped they'd been. Now, I said it on Tuesday night, I think if you strip Celtic down just now and everybody was fit, I think their starting 11 is a very, very good starting 11 with everybody fit. I think the backup to that is where everything is, where maybe Brendan Rodgers is pointing about the quality.
I think you can be a bit selective here and you can kind of pluck one or two random examples and say that there you go, just because this team does it, you know, it should follow that every smaller team can do it. I know it's not that simple, but you can't ignore when you look around last night and you look at a team like Copenhagen who have 5 points. Everybody knows that generally the more money you have, the better you'll do. There's no secret. I don't think anyone's wanting Celtic to go and push on and try and win the Champions League. But if Copenhagen can get 5 points, can give it a right good go, even if they fall short on the last match day, they might drop into the Europa League, whatever it is. And I do, again, I then accept the flip side of that. You look at the game at the Emirates last night and you know, there is a gap between some of the have and have nots in Champions League. But is it just about trying to squeeze a bit more out of it?
You know what? Nothing's really changed for Celtic over the years from my time and before, that your home games are crucial in the Champions League. You need to take care of those. Now, against Atletico Madrid, they got a credible draw and they were great that night. The Lazio one's the one that's killed them. You know, losing that goal in the final minute is the one that's killed them and put them out of European competition, really, because I don't think many Celtic fans are expecting them to produce miracles away from home. It's just eluded Celtic for so many years. I mean, 39 away games and 2 wins away from home in that time is a dreadful start, and I can't see it changing anytime soon. But it was always, progression was always built in the home form. And they may go and beat Feyenoord, but it means for nothing now. It's those games at the start of a campaign at home you need to take care of, and Celtic in recent years just haven't been able to do that.
Did you expect more, Thomas, when, just particularly with Brendan Rodgers coming back, because he is a manager of a certain standing in the game and he has been here before and he had won everything domestically. When you saw him come back, did you expect it to be a bit more of a European success this season?
Yeah, I expected it to be a bit better. I mean, Mark Wilson's hot the nail on the head. You know, the home games is imperative. You need to win your home games. You know, and again, I'll take Mark's point against the game against Lazio. That game killed us. It really did. The last minute goal with Pedro, I think it was. You know, but the home games, obviously you need to win your home games. But I think when Brendan Rodgers come back, I think obviously a lot of fans didn't want him to come back. I was the one that didn't want him to come back because he's a good manager. You know what I mean? His record spoke for itself when the first time he was here. You know, but I just think that he needed to be backed. And when they bring players in, they're project players. I know, Gordon, they're young. They won't get into that first team. You know, I think we need to get players that can come into the first team. You know, rather than the not, you know.
Is it inevitable that this is going to come back on the board or the club? Even if that's not the real reason or the main reason, we've now got a massive sample. We've got 15 winless Champions League games. They clearly can't all be Brendan Rodgers' fault because he wasn't here for them all. They're certainly not all Yang's fault or Greg Taylor's fault or whoever, because they weren't here for them all. So the one place you would able to look at the 15 games, and by the way, I know the makeup of the board has changed, but it's the only place you can go if you're taking that snapshot. If you go through this season, you're right. You go, well, do you know what? Two men sent off in Rotterdam. You're not going to win that. Mm-hmm. You're fine, battered down to 10 men in Madrid. Good result at home. So it's really just the Lazio game. That's the only real killer, is the home one before the other night. But when you take that bigger sample, the 15, that's going to have to come back on the club more than anyone else, isn't it?
Well, it has in the recruitment, and when they do the recruitment, because it seems like I've went in a time machine here, because it seems like we're going back 3 years ago when this was always... this would always crop up at the start of the season, and it was when Celtic had to go through the qualification campaign, you know, would have supporters phone up and say we're not recruiting quick enough. And then when Celtic crashed out of the Champions League qualification, it was because recruitment wasn't done swiftly enough. Then when Ange Postecoglou came in, kind of all got brushed away because he signed a few real gems that had the ground running and looked exciting, looked dynamic. And now it's, we're back to where we were, projects. And so it seems like we've went back in time a bit. Doesn't it quite help when the board, you know, splash out there that they've got this amount of money, X amount of money in the bank, and it's terrific? Fans don't want to hear that. Fans want to see progress on the pitch. They want to see signings come in and make a difference, and particularly in Europe. Celtic have got enough in their squad to win this Scottish Premiership, no doubt about that. And they will get challenges along the way, but they're never going to scratch the surface in Europe if they don't have people to push the starting 11 that Daz is on about.
Thank you very much to Thomas. Enjoy the rest of your night. I know somebody who'll be enjoying the rest of their night and the next few nights for sure. Let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Well done, Caroline. Right, just imagine being at work, the phone rings, you're paying attention, you say, make me a winner, and it's £170,000. Into your bank account at any time of year, never mind this time of year. And now we could make you the winner of £175,000 tomorrow when we make the call, but only if you're in the draw, obviously. So text YES to 61025. If you do it right now, you'll get 5 entries for the price of 1 text entry. As a man who loves a deal, a bargain.
Do you think Caroline's thinking, I wish they'd phone me tomorrow,
get an extra £5?
An extra £5.
I think she'll take the 170. The text of £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 online entry, or call 0330 880 4523. The calls are charged at a standard rate. All the rules for this network competition are online, but it is over 18s only. And again, just like Caroline did, if you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away, and the £175,000 pounds would be paid into your bank account right after the call. Text YES to 61025.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard on St Andrew's Day.
Second half just got underway in Helsinki. It's Helsinki 2, Aberdeen 1. Just after the break. So Aberdeen very much up against it in the first half, but that wonderful Angus McDonald strike bringing them back into it. Over to you on the phones, 01419511025. Rangers fans, are you heading to the game tonight? Are you settling down to watch it? What are you expecting? We'll give you the team in just a second. You can give us your reaction. And Celtic fans also looking back on Lazio and the Champions League in general and European football, and whether it's the signings or whether it's the manager or the tactics or the board. You've heard all of the suggestions before. Which one do you subscribe to, though? 01419511025. Gabriel has the teams then from Ibrox. Let's hear the Rangers team, Gabriel.
Yes, I do, Gordon. And Philippe Clement makes 3 changes to the side that drew 1-1 against Aberdeen at the weekend. Conor Goldson suspended, so he's out. Liam Balogun's not in the European squad, so he's missing as well. Tom Lawrence drops to the bench. In come John Suter and Ben Davies to start at centre-half. Sam Lammers is back in the lineup as well. So let's have a run through of the 11. Jack Butland in goal. A defence of James Tavernier, John Suter, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic. It'll be Jose Cifuentes and John Lundstrom in midfield again. Todd Cantwell will start on the right wing with Abdul Asimah on the other side. Sam Lammers will play behind Danilo. The substitutes: McCrory, Wright, Dessers, Lawrence, Matondo, Sterling, Roof, King, Devine, McCausland and McKinnon.
What do you make of that?
It certainly doesn't write itself, does it?
No, it does, not, it does not pick itself. Who would have thought?
Do you know something? He must be in that dressing room listening at 6 o'clock and thought, I'm going to upset the Dazzler tonight. Surprised
Lammers comes back in.
Yeah, I don't think he's hit the ground running. I thought he had a great opportunity to get all 3 points at the weekend. I thought he should have done better. Lawrence has you know, come back for that injury, played few games now, maybe just looks tonight to maybe use him as an impact player. But I'm a bit surprised with that going, I've got to say.
Lammer's last start was the Sparta game though, Mark. I don't know, it's the only thing I can think, because you know, like we've heard on the phones, and we'll speak to Alan in a second, most Rangers fans were excited to see Tom Lawrence back, trying to accommodate Todd Cantwell, maybe shift those two around. I don't think we would have, no offence to Sam Lammers, I just don't think we would have had many calls tonight to drop Tom Lawrence out and bring him back in. But he did start the Sparta Prague game.
Not a chance for me, I didn't expect that. Listen, I can only imagine it's maybe trying to manage Lawrence's game time, with coming off the bat, the run of some long term injuries, and he's been there and he's played some competitive football recently. This might have just been a game that Clement sees he doesn't quite need him for the start. But let's be honest, Lammers has just done basically nothing, I think, in his time. He scored a good goal up at Dens Park, didn't he? Apart from that, I think he's been a real letdown. Now, you'll see that tonight is an opportunity to go and then produce a performance that puts him in the frame again. But he's had a lot of opportunities, you've got to say that. And Clement's gave him a lot of opportunities as well to play. So, surprised at it. The rest, as Daz says,
picks itself.
But Lammer's certainly a surprise.
Alan, as a Rangers fan, what do you make of that team then, Alan?
Yeah, just like panel, quite surprised actually. I didn't see Lammers coming back in. I thought maybe McCausland or Lauren Steen in the team. So yeah, quite surprised. And if I can get a point to Mark Wilson, please, just after that.
Yeah, let's do the team in a bit more detail for sure. What about elsewhere, Alan? You look at the two centre backs. It's necessity tonight. There was no real other options. Comfortable enough with that though?
Well, as you say, there's no choice. But comfortable, yes. Suter, when he comes in, he's a good player. And Davies, there's a mistake in him, but he's maybe one of the best defenders at the club when he's on his game, eh?
Yeah, he's a funny one, Ben Davies, in many ways, Mark. He's had a lot of good appearances for Rangers, good performances. And then there are other times where it looks a bit ropier. Off the top of my head, maybe some of the better ones have been in Europe.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I think in the Premiership is the ones that he's looked.
Although having said that, he did play the game in Cyprus, I should point out.
But I think he finds himself, you know, on the bench or not in the starting 11 just because of the relationship when Balogun's came back in with Golton. It looks fairly strong, apart from the goal they conceded on Sunday. But apart from that, they've looked good together, and Davies has found himself, you know, out the team because of that. Again tonight, much like Lammers, he's back in, he's got an opportunity because Balogun isn't in the squad. It's an opportunity to go and perform and show Clement that in this stage he's still, you know, is going to be in his thoughts going forward. Because Rangers, like my opinion, Rangers will win. It's can they progress to the last 16, and Davies puts himself right in the frame if he has a good performance tonight.
Yeah, Suter's maybe, he's been a bit longer. I think he was the Prague game away. Gordon was the last time he played that 0-0 game just over a month ago. So bit of rustiness, can't afford to have rustiness tonight, I suppose.
No, but I don't think it would be a major worry. You're looking at two guys, very experienced international, obviously Suter. Suter looked like he was going to make a real go of it with his Rangers career after that injury, Gordon. But I think the pairing just now would be Golson and Balogun. He's sort of seems to be the favourite under Clement. But as forced tonight, I've not got real worries about it. I know you can say there's a mistake. There's always a mistake in any defender. You can look at Tavernier's defending, you can look at Barisic's defending, but it's still a solid back four and should be good enough at home.
What else is on your mind, Alan?
Hey, just a quick point, Mark. Listening about Lazio, if they'd done this and done that, let's sum up. Brendan Rodgers and Celtic's record in Europe is shocking. Somebody can work statistics out there, how many coefficient points any Scottish team has put in. The only annoying thing as a Rangers fan is we're not getting to win the league through our own fault. And every year Celtic's picking up the 30 million getting into the Champions League due to your coefficient points.
Yeah, I mean, look, listen, there's no doubt Rangers have done brilliantly to contribute to the coefficient. The coefficient is it's a combination of everyone's efforts, I think, over the last 5 years. So it's not only Rangers, but obviously Rangers have done very well recently. Alan, you say it's Rangers' own fault that they don't win the league. Celtic might have something to do with it, though.
Yes, that's true, yeah, of course. Aye.
And you know, you highlight Brendan Rodgers' Champions League. It's right, you know, you look at Brendan Rodgers' stats in the Champions League. I've seen them this week. Mm. Not particularly impressive, but Champions League's a different level, totally different level for the Europa League. And Rangers saw that last year, the difference that you get. So Celtic
depends, being
incredibly
though. Once you get to the, I mean, this current Lazio team on the basis of last night, I mean, that's the type of opposition you might have to play in the Europa League. You know, there's going to be, it comes and goes, doesn't it? Obviously, the Champions League is a higher level, but last night and some of the games, they're not these games where you think, oh, wow, European superpowers, top of their game, can't do any better.
Not at all. And Lazio, probably over both legs, you could argue that Celtic were well in both those games and could have come out with more positive results than they did, of course. But I tend to think you get punished, you know, at the Champions League level very easily. So, I said the other night, I mean, if there's a way of losing these games, Celtic seem to find them. Yeah, which is quite a weird place they're in at the minute.
Well, they're throwing snowballs in Helsinki, that's all I can tell you. I'm sure I saw one flying past the camera a minute ago. 54 gone, Helsinki 2, Aberdeen 1. Thank you to Alan. Keep your thoughts coming in on the Rangers game tonight or Celtic's European performances or anything else, and we shall play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, usually fairly easy opposition, so if you fancy it, it's 01419511025. The Pundits have won 6 in a row. Let's put a stop to that tonight. You have to call before 7.
Patron saints of Patter. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard on St Andrew's Day.
Held that last note really long, didn't he? Didn't know when to come in there. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, who are still here. I don't know why I'm thanking you.
You're
paid to be here.
But normally here.
You sort of have to be. Let me thank you in advance for giving us a call in this next hour. Rangers fans, what are you thinking about the game tonight? Celtic fans, what's the post-mortem looking like on the European action a couple of days on? Helsinki 2, Aberdeen 2 now. Duke with the equaliser.
Yeah,
it looked like Aberdeen were finished, but good couple of substitutions at half time from the manager, positive, and they've been right at it. And I'll tell you what, you would fancy them to go on and get the money now.
It looks like they're going to go ahead and get a third, if I'm honest. They just had another decent chance here, good save at the front post. So whatever Barry said to them at half time has certainly worked.
The red ball is just really causing me particular
Why
difficulties.
Why did they not go with yellow then?
But I'm also kind of red green colour deficient or whatever it's called.
Are you?
So like, it's causing me real, it's causing me real issues.
So what are you seeing at the minute?
I mean, I can
black
see
and white.
I can see it. It's just not great. You know, it's just a bit. Some
have you always been like that?
I expert can explain exactly what it means, but it's just not great.
It's a problem with traffic lights. Is that
not? Nah. See, that's the thing. That's,
can you see them?
I can just about manage to tell them apart. Anyway, right. 01419511025. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
6 in a row for the Pundits.
Yes.
I'd hate to be in your two's shoes, yours in particular, but we'll get to them in a minute.
I'm not bad, huh?
No, I'd hate to be in your shoes.
Oh, no, Aberdeen's. They almost conceded. What a goal in Clarence.
Okay.
We do it now, will we expose your shoes now, or will we just do it later?
Nothing up with my shoes. My shoes are looking.
Right, we'll get back to them after Beat the Pundit. Kian is on from Coatbridge. How's it going, Kian?
All right, guys, how you doing?
Not bad, Kian, not bad. What made you call tonight?
My dad done it a couple of weeks ago with my wee brother Shea.
Right. Oh, I think I remember that. How did that go again?
Oh, you get beat off Marvin Bartley.
Oh, that's never good. That's never good. So you're on to try and get some respectability for the family, is that what it is?
Aye.
Something like that.
Are you on your own tonight, or are you family with you?
I'm with Shea.
Oh, Shea again, he's a bit of bad luck charms, you know?
This is Shea's second appearance.
I know.
On Beat the Pundit in the last few weeks. I like it. Right, Kian, what we'll do is heads, it will be Mark Wilson, and tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it is. That was heads before I dropped
all
it.
Right.
It was.
Okay, good luck, Kian.
Right, what we'll do is give
is
him
that
up.
Kian.
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 Oh, Kian.
Kian's guy out of Westlife.
Let's give Mark some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. We've got 30 seconds on the clock, Kian and Shay. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, all good.
Good stuff. Your time starts now. What other Scottish team has James McCarthy played for before Celtic?
Why?
How many points do Rangers have in their Europa League group?
7.
What Motherwell players get the most international caps?
Stephen O'Donnell.
Who were the last home nation Scotland men's team beat?
Georgia.
Who's the only current Scottish Premiership player from Sweden?
Pass.
Name either team in the only all Premiership tie in the Scottish Cup draw.
Pass.
Okay. Mark Wilson, can you hear us? Are you ready?
Back. What? You heard what song that was?
How could I hear what song it is? Believe it or not, this is going to surprise you. I was listening. I was listening to Keane.
It was Under Pressure by Queen. Is Keane put me under pressure?
Keane's decent.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah,
30 seconds on the clock. Yeah. Your time starts now. Cool. Which other Scottish side has James McCarthy played for before Celtic?
Hamilton.
How many points do Rangers have in their Europa League group?
7.
Which Motherwell player has the most international caps?
Kelly.
Who were the last home nation the Scotland men's team beat?
Gonna go Republic Ireland.
Who is the only current Scottish Premiership player from Sweden?
Lager Bielka.
Name either side playing in the only all Premiership tie in the Scottish Cup.
Habs. I don't know.
Okay. What do you think, Kian? Kian, have you done enough?
Mother.
No.
The family. The shame of yous all.
Oh, dear me, that is not good. Right. James McCarthy did start his career at Hamilton. 1-0 Mark Wilson.
Oh, he didn't even get that.
Rangers have 7 points, which you both got. The Motherwell player with the most caps, Stephen O'Donnell, has got about 25 more caps than Liam Kelly.
Liam Kelly only got one.
Yeah, I think so.
1.5.
What did your man get?
He said Stephen O'Donnell.
Did he?
Well done.
No.
Level. The last home nation was Northern Ireland.
I heard that question wrong. I thought it was.
I know. I gathered that because you said Georgia. there we go. Lager Bielka is the only Scottish Premiership player from Sweden, which Mark got.
Yes, Kian.
So I think that's 3-2, Mark. And name either side playing in the only all Premiership tie of the cup draw. See, I think it's just an experience, Kian. See, when there's a question asking you to name a team, just guess a team. It's Kilmarnock or Dundee. None of you got it, but that means a 3-2 win for Mark Wilson. Hard lines, Kian and Shay.
I'll take that over my dad's any day.
Exactly.
Is your uncle know that coming on next week?
Maybe I'll ask him.
The family tree. You better get the family tree out, mate.
Good man, well done, Shay, as well. Good to speak to you. Take care.
Take care, mate.
Cheers, guys. Yes, another convincing victory.
His family's distraught, isn't it?
I know.
Oh, who's next? Uncle Alec.
Just working the
way.
What are
you and Auntie Betty doing next Tuesday?
7 in a row for the.
It's easy. It's easy. Shows how little the public know. Of we are getting 7 in a row.
That's it. You just insult our entire.
All yous out there.
He's no nothing.
Listen to the experts.
Phone in the morning. Challenge you.
What is the referee complaining at here? Because I've just looked
the
up.
The weather.
Is he on about the snowballs again?
Yeah.
It is getting a bit treacherous in Helsinki.
There's nothing worse when
68 minutes.
Aberdeen are going up there in the pitch and the goalie's built a snowman.
Is it the weather he's complaining about?
Yeah.
Who's that that's sticking
no idea,
them? Is that Craig Sampson? No. It's just someone in the Aberdeen coaching staff, I think, is it? They've all got hats on and everyone's getting involved and trying to find out the...
Aberdeen coaching staff saying, this is like summer.
It doesn't look
well,
great,
it's,
does it?
It's because the snow is obviously going to start covering the lines now, so the referee has to, obviously be able to see the lines to continue, doesn't he?
Oh, it's one of the ones. I would just go look.
It's a bit late, isn't
200
it?
Grand each. Let's shake hands and move on. Let's get out of here. Because the airport's got to be closed. You're not going to get home. Right? And that's a nightmare staying over there in another night.
In Helsinki?
Yeah.
I can think of worse things. Nice part of the world.
But it's snowing.
And how did Alan Burrows swing it? Have you seen where he is?
Dubai.
Aye.
How come they dressed in the Aberdeen staff?
Is that what in Helsinki? What is he brokering? A deal? A warm weather training camp or something like that?
Incredible.
I think we should start going to cover them.
He's got short sleeves on.
That's super scoreboard on the road.
That's more than
in the training
road,
training camps.
That's
where
his long sleeve shirt cut.
Yeah, I think he is speaking to the fourth official to see whether the game is playable. No such issues, as far as we know, at Ibrox tonight. But keep your thoughts coming in on that team. The guys in here and the previous caller, they're both surprised because Sam Lammers has been brought back into the team and Tom Lawrence drops out. Does that surprise you? Or, actually, are you very much on board and understanding of that decision? Let us know, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Right, I can't hold it any longer because we just alluded
go
to
then.
It.
Go then. We'll keep
tell you who wouldn't struggle on this surface, Gordon. This guy beside
exactly.
me with these trainers
really
because
big
they've got quite a sew on them.
You've given me a hard time.
I put this on Instagram today, right? I don't even know if you know. I took a picture of your shoes because we met up this morning for some business discussions. And I took a picture of your trainers and I said on my Instagram story, which super scoreboard pundit is trying to stay young with these trainers? Now, a man in his 60s, a man of any age, do you want to try and lift your leg up to the camera? Can we get a look at them? Get them on the desk.
Get a camera.
Where is the desk?
There.
That's fine. Leave them there.
You've got the desk, but the camera. Come on.
I'll tell you what.
Camera operators.
I bet there are a few.
It. Almost there.
Come on.
You get a big leg in. That's
Oh, look at these babies coming into shot.
No, we can only see the sole. That's no use.
Well, that's the important bit because they're there.
Are they?
Look at their babies. I'll tell you what, the fish, there are three fish at the bottom there.
My question to you is, are they age appropriate for a man in his 60s? So they're Nike Air?
Oh, they are. I'll tell you what they are. Three payments of $40, let me tell you, every month at the end of the month.
Joking. See when he got out of the car this morning.
What are we calling them? Green or yellow air bubbles at the back?
I don't even know.
Do you know I bought a T-shirt that colour?
Did you buy them? I assume somebody gave you them.
When he got out of the car this morning, right, I didn't even say good morning to him. I said, what have you got on your feet and where did you get them from?
Oh, I was 6 foot. See my bubbles burst.
I've not seen trainers like them since I was back at school.
So that was a conscious decision from you to go in, it was a mistake decision,
right? They were actually bought for a Christmas present. And I thought to myself...
Who for?
It's a long story.
Everything's a lie with you.
No, it's a true story. It's a true story. I went in and I bought...
I know your family. Who are you buying those trainers for?
100%. I'll explain later to you. And what happened was, when I got them home, I thought, I wonder if they'll fit, because same size as me. Then I sort of looked in them.
You just fell in love with them.
And I sort of, I lay them down beside my bed, and I kept sort of distracting.
Kept looking at them. No wonder they're that bright. Their bubbles are that bright, you couldn't see probably.
So I thought, I'll get away with them. And I'll buy him another pair.
There's a lot of leather on them.
They've been down a storm.
I've no problem.
Are you
with
telling
a man
me they're not absolutely brilliant?
I just didn't know the Nike Air with the bubbles were big market for the 60 plus.
How age got bracket. To be? Hold on a minute. Didn't they say size nine on it?
See when I buy toys and stuff for my daughter and it'll say like 3 plus.
Yeah.
They should say like 40 minus on them.
Do you know what I like? Maybe I like the fish minus. And the bubbles. I like people.
They're definitely been in the cheap aisle and in the box that you just take to the checkout because
mate, I bet they're not
at the night shop.
They're three payments.
See, given his history, they'll be different sizes.
Yeah, one's a nine, one's a nine and a half.
One's a nine and a half.
I put it on Instagram.
Get a poll. Did you get a poll?
Genuinely, like. I know this is what people say to exaggerate. Hundreds of people replied saying, which pundit do you think these are? Hundreds replied. I would say about 80% got it right. They thought it was you. A couple thought they were yours, Mark Wilson.
Well, I'm really offended at that because
you've not got the lolly to buy.
I can't believe people think a man of my stature would wear those.
I had a few rogue shouts for Hugh and so on. And I thought,
it'd be good to see Hugh in those. But
I think they're absolutely brilliant.
They're certainly eye-catching.
One more look at them before we move on.
To get them right. Straight. What camera is it? Is that one there?
Get your foot on the desk. Oh, jeez. Would you look at the state of them?
Right, go get your foot in the desk now. Go on. Right in front here. Put your foot up there.
Put my foot up there.
Never mind. Helsinki and Aberdeen have been taken off the field, by the way. It's really getting disturbing over there in Finland.
That shows you how much material's on them.
Honestly, Gordondale's now running.
By the way, just before that, Gordon, Helsinki missed an absolute sitter to go 3-2 up, but it's the right decision, you've got to say. You can't see the lines on the pitch now.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what this means as of yet, but there are 74 minutes gone. Helsinki 2, Aberdeen 2, and both teams have been taken off the pitch because the snow is so bad. So we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens there, but that is far from ideal. Helsinki fans are clearly used to it. I was going to say Aberdeen fans should be as well, but even by the Granite City standards,
the
that
pictures
looks...
Aberdeen before they flew out, they were throwing snowballs at each other. I think it's sprinkling of snow in Aberdeen, but this is heavy stuff. Yeah, oh, the tractor's
oh,
on.
Oh, I like the tractor. Go.
That's what you need.
I like the tractor. That's the same colour as my trainers.
That is. If this was us at Hampden, we'd have every ball boy with a brush like the Georgia game sweeping snow off.
Yeah, this. Oh, look at this.
Oh, that's
this is,
easy.
This is a country that's played winter football. There are three tractors on the pitch at Helsinki, or going round the pitch specifically to clear the lines. See, they're ready for this stuff. They're prepared. You're right. That would be chaos if that was a Scottish stadium.
That's why the airport's shut.
Just everyone looking at each other, just hoping for the best.
They'll have this game on in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, hopefully
they'll finish it off. See, the phone gabs at Ibrox. He'd have given them a weather update.
Hopefully we'll be okay. Right, 01419511025. William is on the line. William, what are you thinking? Ibrox tonight? Straightforward or a worry, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, hello, Gordon, Mark, and Gordon.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm quietly called. My point was right about Philippe Clement, and an added point about Mark Wilson and his bare-faced cheek trying to slag off Rangers in Europe, right? But I'll come back to that.
When did he do that?
Don't know, but William's going to tell me.
Can I come back in?
Of course, the line's open.
Philippe Clement, right? I don't think Rangers have got a brilliant team tonight. They've got a good team, but they've got a very good manager. The way he's come in and done his business, you see him in press conferences, on the touchline, his tactics, his structure. Rangers are definitely not a lazy team anymore. You're not allowed to be lazy with this man. You'll be running, you'll not be playing. I do think he's come in and done absolutely brilliant in what he's done. And if you can get the players up to the levels he wants, I think we'll not be far away.
What do you make of his decision to bring in Sam Lammers tonight?
Curious. I would have put Cantwell there, and I'd have put a young boy McCausland on the wing, or Montondo. I agree with Mark and God. I don't think Lammers is. I don't think he's that chance he missed on Sunday. It's just a guy who scored what, two goals in about 5 years. You know what I mean?
Do you think it is safe to say there's a lot of emphasis being placed on the win against Sparta last time out, and almost trying to kind of recreate that, you know, European opposition at home at Ibrox? Lammers played that night. I must admit, off the top of my head, I don't think he played brilliantly well individually that night, but. Is that the thinking? Must
managers
be,
do
not played in the last.
Yeah, managers
couple.
Do tend to look back at games, certain fixtures, Europeans, obviously different from the Premier League week in, week out, different opposition. So I think he's, look, Williams come on and sang the praises of his manager. So he's picked Lammers tonight. He's got to put the trust in Lammers as the right guy for the position tonight. Me personally, I probably wouldn't if I was in that position. But as William quite rightly said, this guy's come in, he's got a tune out of one or two of the players that weren't hitting the ground running, as we say. He looks like he's got them well organised, he's got them well up for it. I'll hold judgment on him. I've liked him, I've got to say. I've really taken to him. I like the way he speaks, I like the way he conducts himself, everything about him. I'm excited for January and the summer to come. I want to see the type of football player that he's going to bring to Glasgow and Ibrox.
Right, go on then. What's Mark Wilson's barefaced cheek all about? I'm interested.
He's talking about Champions League level and Europa League level, right? Rangers have beat plenty of teams in the Europa League that are Champions League level. Now, you go to get to the last rounds, we've played teams like Dortmund, Leipzig, Porto, Benfica, have no beat Rangers. There are definitely teams in the later rounds that are Champions League level. You know what I mean? Mark's got to understand, Rangers were in a European final 2 years ago, a Scottish club in a European final. And if he's watching his own team, who he loves, the same, and he's trying to dismiss Rangers' achievements, it's not a good look.
This is great because I love slagging all the pundits. I don't know when you dismissed Rangers, but
I think it was because I said that Rangers saw how difficult the Champions League was last season. I still don't know how that's dissing them, William. I'm not sure about that. I understand perfectly well. Rangers went to the Europa League final a couple of years ago and how well they did in that run. That was 2 years ago. I'm referring to the Champions League, which Rangers' most recent inclusion was last year, where they found it difficult. And my point was purely that Celtic are right there just now as well, find it difficult. So I don't know. I don't know where you're coming at there, to be honest.
Can I come back in?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you came across the way that Rangers are not competing in the Champions League and Celtic are in the Champions League. You were more or less saying Europa League was a level below, which you're correct, but when you get to the later rounds of these teams, Mark, there is Champions League level teams in it, which Rangers are beating.
Yeah, of course. Of course there is.
Sounds like we're all agreeing at the end, somehow, in the midst of it. The tractors have almost cleared the snow. 01419511025. Thoughts on tonight's game? Thoughts on Tuesday's game? Anything else? We've not even gone to sin bins. We could do that at some point. That's the hot topic at the moment. Give us a call right now and we'll try and get you on next. But let me tell you about this first.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Christmas tree up yet?
No.
Still not for you? Good.
Weekend.
I like to hear that.
This
I like to hear some people are resisting the temptation.
1st of December.
We know that you're a lost cause, you just don't have one. Actually, I like to hold firm, but there is one about that size has gone up in my daughter's room, so I feel like that's alright because she's a bit excited about that. That's fine. But it is definitely that time of the year. If you've braved a shopping centre recently, you will know it is definitely that time of the year. And with Christmas round the corner, it means Cash for Kids Mission Christmas is very much back. It's in full flow now, in fact, because we know that this Christmas is going to be particularly difficult for a lot of families out there, right here in our communities as well. And we're trying to make a difference by supporting Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. And if you're wondering the types of places that your money would go, let's hear from Weston Bartonshire Community Food Share. It's a food and clothing bank. Incredible that we still need that. That helps families in poverty. And Claire from the group tells us about a family she's been working with.
Every day we're getting calls from new families who have never had to use our type of service before. Very emotional, very upset. A lot of the new families who are now contacting us are working families who just cannot keep up with the bills that are coming in. Everybody's just finding it very, very difficult to cope and to manage to put food on the table for their children.
Yeah, we're talking about putting food on the table or clothes on somebody's back. Nothing elaborate, nothing outrageous, just trying to make a bit of a difference for many children in our area this Christmas. Every penny raised, we can guarantee that every penny goes straight back to those families that need it, and it makes such a difference. So if you want to head to Clyde1.com/mission, you can find out all the details there. And a big thanks to some folks who are already doing good things. Skerryvore, the band, have announced Christmas song Angel of Christmas coming out tomorrow. All the profit going to Mission Christmas, selling merchandise as well, with £2 from each of the sales they're going. Also Clyde & Co in George Street, CRD Property in Rutherglen. We've got Iceland stores throughout Glasgow in the west, Messart Boutique Hair Salons, Great Western Road and Uddingston, all taking toy donations throughout Mission Christmas and taking part in Christmas Jumper Day as well. So Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, who are proud to support the local community.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard on St Andrew's Day.
Gav.
Right. We're back underway in Helsinki. The snow has been cleared. How efficient was that?
Brilliant.
Get these guys down at Glasgow Airport when things go a bit wrong in the winter. It's 73 on the clock. Helsinki 2, Aberdeen 2. And the pitch not looking great, but it's better than it was. I think they were even playing Jingle Bells over the Tannoy system during the break. So hopefully Aberdeen can kick on and win this. We're about half an hour away from kickoff at Ibrox. So still time to get your calls in. The previous caller was a Rangers fan who said the decision to bring back Sam Lammers was curious. I quite like that word. I wonder what word you would use to describe it, or whether you just think it was the right call. Let us know what you make of that Rangers team tonight. We're looking back on Celtic's Champions League disappointment as well. Let's do that. and sin bins, anything else that's out there, 0141 951 1025, after I give you this question.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Okay, to celebrate St Andrew's Day, you know where this is going. I think we do this,
Scottish
a
question.
Variation of this question every year. Can you name the last 7 players to play for Scotland called Andrew or Andy?
Robertson.
Can you name the last 7 players to play for Scotland called Andrew or Andy?
Robertson.
Andy Robertson, yes.
Webster.
Andy, yes.
Webster, yeah. Andy.
All right, listen, I'll leave it there, because let's give the listeners the chance to tweet us and get their answers in, and they can play along at home. So don't give away too many at the moment. I don't think you know them anyway, but even if you did. And if you want to send your question in, that was Chris in Partick who sent that tonight. And it's very simple. Come up with a question, email fulltime@clyde1.com and send it in. We'll try and use it on the show. So there we go. You alright? No, you don't need to give any more just now.
No, we're just lighting each other.
Don't do that either. Oh, how disturbing was this last night? One of the most disturbing tweets of all time came in last night, and it was from a guy saying that he was lying in the bath listening to the show, and then he just realised that you were probably lying in your bath at the same time, just sharing
how sad if you're thinking that.
But he tweeted
that's
in to admit it and tell us.
I think things floating everywhere. Yeah,
was it bath night last night? Right,
yeah, enough? So Wednesday's always my Wednesday. Yeah, hump day is always my bath.
I wish you would stop referring to it as in the context though of you.
All
right. Do you know what I mean?
In the bath at the same time.
I mix my week up. Wednesday's my.
Can I actually give you an update though on something we received last night? You're a Spotify man?
No.
You like listening to music, do you not?
Yeah, but
are you Apple Music or something?
I used to be Spotify, right. But I've moved over.
No, I'm not Spotify. Okay. No,
I've moved over.
But you'll be aware that Spotify Wrapped came out yesterday, yeah. And it tells you how many minutes people have given to listening to their favourite bands or whatever, you know, favourite podcasts. Last night, people were sending in how many minutes they had spent listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast this year, and we reached some absolutely eye-watering statistics, right? And I thought it could not possibly be topped. It just couldn't. And I've just received one from Dino, right, who, listen to this, in a year listened to you lot on Clyde One Super Scoreboard for 64,853 minutes.
Many shows is that?
I don't know what to make
divide
of that.
Divide that.
I mean, as much as we're grateful, there's not much going on in Dino's life, is
yeah.
there?
Do you want to know what that amounts to?
What's
that
amount to?
45 days.
45 days.
45 days.
Dino, come on, mate.
No, I like it.
Let's take Dino out.
Switch his radio off. Dino?
So I replied to Dino and said, you know, how can this be? Because I mean, do we even do that many shows in a year? But he says he even goes way back and listens to all these old shows because he just likes, like, you know, he'll go back to when. So Dino's a Celtic fan, so he says he'll go way back to like 2017, find a show in which, you know, Celtic won or Rangers lost or whatever.
Aye.
And just enjoy the reaction. Right, okay. To it. 45 days.
That's
Dino,
a lot,
yeah.
That's a
you
lot.
Need to take Dino.
I like listening to podcasts and things in the car when I'm driving, but I don't know if it's 45 hours worth. Aye. Well done, Dino. You're keeping us in a job.
Yeah, that's a lot of podcasting.
Well, listen, we've done enough, haven't we, on your music last week, really.
Yeah, my music.
Was it Sybil?
I got a lot of good feedback from my music.
Tina Turner, of course. How can we forget?
That was number 10. Come on. And she was good at that time. You know, she could hold the stage.
Well, it's going to be a nailed on Christmas number one now, isn't there? See Shane McGowan's passing.
Oh yeah.
The Pogues passed away. Is that nailed on? I see they're taking bets and all sorts. That'll be back at Christmas number one.
You know the song?
I do.
Give us a
rendition.
No. Like, obviously we wouldn't make light of a serious situation, but it's been quite a few days for like famous deaths, hasn't it? Was it Alistair Darling today?
Yep.
What's the guy from Brookside?
Jimmy Shumdy.
What's his character called? Corkle?
Corkle.
Jimmy.
Is that right?
Jimmy Corkle.
He's passed away. Well, I mean, the main guy. The guy who. That
the guy that played him. Dan.
Why are you
so many
coming
famous
down
faces.
Why are you coming down a little tear somewhere?
I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. Because why we even mention that? As
sad
much
time
as
of
it's
year.
A sad, sad
no,
time, of course.
Because of Shane McGowan, the Christmas number one.
Right.
It's okay. Christmas time. And then there was your pal for Berentorm as well. Passed away, didn't she? that pal of yours.
Is she away? Is she away? I can't believe I missed a funeral.
Oh, don't make any more jokes.
Becky.
Hold on. Stop.
Victoria.
This is a death. Why are you laughing? It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. What are your favourite stage?
Wouldn't I like to carry that?
She certainly could hold the stage like Tina Turner could. By the way, I was there. I've seen her front row one time.
Did you?
I swear.
Oh.
And she had her daughter beside her. Ten.
Oh,
enough.
It was. You're eating your dinner. Aye. Yeah. Watch out for radio just now, wasn't it? We'll remember her well.
80 minutes gone in Helsinki. It's Helsinki 2, Aberdeen 2. Oh, we've lost the plot. We've completely lost the plot. Oh no. Sin bins. Anybody? Any change of topic? Wow. Let's hear from Philippe Clement, who's been talking this week about potentially introducing sin bins into football. These were his thoughts on it.
That's for me a difficult thing, because I think it becomes a little bit a circus then, with players coming in and out constantly during a game. Some people already protesting against VR, because it stops the game and the referee needs to go out and in, but it makes the game more honest. So you need to see the negative things are, for me, less than the positive things in that way, that you get more honest results at the end. So I'm positive about that, but if players need to go out for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know why. What, how much time? Because of a yellow card and come in, what is the moment to come in? It's already difficult for the moment if you have an injured player and you restart and he's on the sideline. It's already difficult to get them in sometimes. And it's a big discussion with the referees, because where is the ball and what is the danger and whatever. So I think it would create more fuss than is necessary.
Yeah, look, Philippe Clement's getting right to the detail, the logistics of it. The story is the use of sin bins, you know, has been looked at in football, part of a series of measures to help protect referees from abuse. So IFAB have, I think they met on Tuesday, talking about, basically that. I think everyone knows what a sin bin is. You don't need me to describe it. A temporary dismissal, in case you're in any doubt. I think they have had grassroots trials of this in England, I think mostly for dissent, but then I know there was discussions as well about maybe even, you know, the sort of tackles or offences that aren't necessarily red cards, but maybe want a bit more than a yellow, if you like. You know, those really kind of cynical trips or whatever. I've seen that mentioned as well. Your thoughts?
Not for me. I'm pretty much what Clement has just said there, that pretty much overcomplicating things. If the sole purpose is to protect referees from abuse, and that's probably what it is, plus those little things, but say it's to protect them from abuse, I think we are overcomplicating things. I think as soon as the way you simplify it is, as soon as there's any player approaching the referee, apart from the captain, to make comments,
that was part of it, wasn't it?
You just yellow card them. And if they do it again, it's a second yellow card and a red card. Now, if you continue down that path, pretty quickly the players are going to recognise that I cannot go near this referee, it's only the captain. I just don't get temporary, you know, orderings off to come back on. And is that really teaching the players a lesson, that they might be off for 2 minutes? Or 5 minutes? I don't think so. I think if they're getting ordered off and their team is then down to 10 men for the remainder of the game, that message will get through a whole lot quicker.
Yeah, it depends, Gordon. I think, you know, like we said, some tactical offences as well. The idea of it, I take Philippe Clement's notion, you know, about how you make it work and why we need to keep adding so many things to football. That is, I think, a lot for people to digest. Can you understand why there is a desire to look at certain sort of cynical fouls and trips that don't warrant a red but are seen by some to be more than a yellow?
I think we're trying to look at other sports and try and pick the brains of other sports to try and help our sport. But
ours is the best,
yeah,
and the most popular. Well, it's funny why we keep doing that.
Yeah, and I'm with Mark and the Rangers manager. I think it's getting too complicated. Maybe it's an old-fashioned thing for me. I think VAR's hard enough for supporters to take in and understand. And then if you add into that sin bin, I just don't think it brings anything to the game as far as I'm concerned.
You know what, you make a good point though. We are the best sport, we are the most popular, but it's the reason, because the game's fluid, you know, it is so simplistic in its measures. You know, the fouls are deemed by a yellow for a warning, an offence, and then a red as a follow-up. Why keep adding layers? Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? If you've got any thoughts, please get them in. Big result elsewhere for Rangers. Sparta Prague 1, Real Betis 0. So that is good news for Rangers. If they win tonight, then they will top the group.
Okay, and that means last 16 when he gives on. Yeah, yeah, that's great news then.
Gabriel can bring us all up to speed. We will go back to Ibrox next.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Patron saints of Patter. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard on St Andrew's Day.
What an evening in Helsinki. The snow has completely covered the pitch again, but we're probably going to see this one through. Aberdeen 2 all at the moment into the 90th minute. Decent enough performance. You probably just take this and get up the road. You get a bit of money for it. You won't get obviously the same amount as you would have for the win, but still a decent enough showing in the end for Aberdeen. Looked like they were up against it early on, but they were 2-0 down, back to 2 each, and we're building up to kick off at Ibrox as well. Let's bring in Gabriel, who is there. Gabriel, so we know the early game in Rangers group is coming to an end. So what does this mean for Rangers? Betis losing against Sparta Prague.
Well, it's actually a great result for Rangers, Gordon. It means they know a win tonight will see them through. They'll progress to knockout stages, and it will put them at the top of the group going into that final match against Real Betis in 2 weeks' time. It means they'll only need a draw in Seville to finish in first place and go straight through to the last 16 of the competition. They'd miss out a whole round, and they'd miss out the teams who drop down from the Champions League. That'll certainly give Philippe Clement's side a huge boost in the changing room before kickoff. Not that they'll need it, Gordon. Rangers are always right up for it on these nights.
There we go.
Great position to be in. Great incentive for everyone at Rangers tonight. Puts them in a good position. You'd expect that by the end of the play tonight, you expect Rangers to go over there. Draw is enough for them. But they've got to get the job done tonight and figure about it the right way. I'm sure they will certainly do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't need any extra motivation, but Philippe Clement, you know, just tells them that as they're going out the door, the result in the other game puts you in pole position. You know what you need to do, and I expect them to go out and win tonight comfortably.
Let's bring in William, who's on the line. How's it going, William?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
What are you thinking tonight, William?
Listen, I'm a first-time caller as well. I have phoned up, but I've...
Not got. What made you call tonight then? What are you thinking?
To ask the guys if they think that players in general play badly to get rid of a manager.
Ooh. Right, give me more than what, based on what, so you, from a Rangers perspective?
I don't really have a perspective, and look, I just watch football, and when a Celtic team or any team at all want to get rid of a player, the results just seem to go bad.
I just suspect the relevant or the kind of recent one, if you like, you know, Philippe Clement's come in and things have got better. Is that? Mark, you've been there.
No,
more recently.
Yeah, I have been. I've been at clubs when managers have lost their job, and there was no way that any me or my teammates played badly to get rid of a manager. However, it shows importance of a manager and a good manager, and when things are going well, that everything's going right, players play at the top of their performance, and that comes from the manager and the coaching team as well. I know it comes from individually, but if a player's feeling comfortable and they're quite clear on what the instructions are being asked of them, and the team has a joined up way of playing under, you know, good stewardship, then you see good results. If that's not all there, or some of those components are missing, then it can result in the manager losing their job. And that's obviously what happened in the recent dismissal of Michael Beale. You've seen things, you know, unfurling as the weeks went on. Bits and pieces were getting progressively worse. Players were playing, you know, well below their performance levels that people knew they were capable of, and then that results in the manager losing his job. But I don't believe that they got badly and do it on purpose.
Yeah, I've got to back that up. I think sometimes players will moan about the manager, of course they will. The organisation, leadership is very important for a manager in a modern day game. But when you go on the pitch, I think you try and give your all. You can come off it and think, well, I wasn't played in the right position, or, you know, the team, the way we're playing is not the right way. Of course, we've heard it all before in dressing rooms. But as an individual, throughout my career and people that I've played with and even guys I know now, I couldn't name anybody that would go out deliberately and not play well to try and get a manager sacked. Mm-hmm.
So, William, the reason you've asked the question, do you think it does happen?
It's just, I'll tell you why. I go to the bookies and my team wins every week. As soon as they want the manager away, they lose.
Yeah, but maybe that's why, maybe the manager needs to go because the team isn't doing well, though,
right,
round that way. I mean, see, this upturn under Philippe Clement, you see Rangers winning tonight?
I definitely do, yes.
I mean, Mark, given that this group has that disappointment in Limassol in it not that long ago, this is a great position to be in.
Well, it's some turnaround, isn't it, in a short space of time. Well, they did beat Betis while Michael Beale was still there, didn't they? So they had that in the bank. But the Limassol performance was the bottom of the barrel, really, for Rangers. There's only one way they could go, but they've got there fairly quickly. You know, they've elevated their performances. But Philip, come on, seems like a serious guy, a winner in a different country, a man who's quite clear with his press conferences, and you can only imagine that becomes even clearer in the dressing room to the players and the message he's trying to portray. So when you get those things right, it all adds up to better results, and Rangers have put themselves in the best possible position to top the group by the end of the 90 minutes tonight.
Thank you, William, from Renfrew on 0141 951 1025. I think, is that it finished in Helsinki?
Yeah.
A share of the spoils, 2-2. Aberdeen trailed 2-0 and pulled it back to level things. So a decent end to the group, albeit not in terms of progression to the latter stages. Let's go back to Ibrox and get a recap of the team's kickoffs getting ever closer.
Yes, it is, Gordon. Huge night here at the freezing cold Ibrox. What a chance Philippe Clement has here. Victory. We'll see the team progress to the knockout stages and put them to the top of their group with just one game to go. And what a turnaround it has been since the last meeting against Aris, where a managerless Rangers lost embarrassingly in Cyprus. Clement has turned the club's fortunes around. He remains unbeaten and he's looking to extend that record this evening. He makes three changes to the team that drew against Aberdeen at the weekend. Conor Goldson, Liam Balogun and Tom Lawrence are out. John Souter, Ben Davies and Sam Lammers are in. The team is as follows: Jack Butland in goal, a defence of James Tavernier, John Souter, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic, Jose Cifuentes and John Lundstrom are in midfield, with Todd Cantwell, Sam Lammers and Abdul Asima in front of them. Danilo leads the line. And Limassol made just one change to the team that beat Rangers 2 months ago. Former Russia striker Alexander Kokorin comes in to start up front alongside Babika, who scored the winning goal in the reverse fixture. An attacking enough side, the Cypriots know they need to win. I spoke to winger Ross McCausland yesterday. He's talking about the run to the Europa League final 2 seasons ago. He went to many games as a fan and he believes this team can do something similar this year. They've got a great chance tonight to take a huge step towards that goal. They can reach the knockout stages and take control of the group. Now, it's freezing cold, as I said, Gordon, but it hasn't deterred the fans. They are ready to roar their team onto victory. There's a huge Saltire display across the stand to my left, marking St Andrew's Day and Scotland's last side who have a chance of progressing in European football. Kickoff is just over 5 minutes away.
Go on then, you two hopeless tipsters. What are you thinking tonight?
I'll go Rangers 3, Aris 0.
3-0, comfortable according to Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale.
I'll go 2.
2-0, so Rangers get themselves in good shape to try and top the group.
Yeah, look, they've no excuses whatsoever. Everything's there for them. They're at home tonight. They know the job they have to do. Just go out there, be professional, get the 3 points, and I can see Rangers doing that.
Okay, let's finish off. It is St Andrew's Day, Rangers pride of Scotland, says the flag behind the goal. I've got a display there in that stand as well. It is St Andrew's Day, and that is the theme of the teaser. Who are the last 6 Andys or Andrews to play for Scotland? You've given me Andy Robertson and Andy Webster.
Andy Gorham.
Not in the last 6.
Oh, Considine.
Yes.
Is there not 7? No.
Was there 7?
I thought you said 7.
Right, I'll tell you what. If I did,
It's Gorham, isn't it?
Maybe it did. Gorham would be the seventh. I couldn't remember where we cut off. I thought we put six up on the screen. That's why I was saying that.
Okay. Right, so I take it Andy Walker, isn't he one?
No.
Andy Gray. Which the young one? Andy Gray.
Yeah, well done, Mark.
He's there. Did you say... What did you say?
Considine.
Yeah, he's on there.
Tell me, Halliday's never had a cup. What about Shinney?
Oh, good shout.
You can remember Andy Shinney's Scotland cap. Fair play to you. Well done.
It's magnificent. Mm-hmm. That just coincided with you. Check that phone.
I'm not playing I'm ever again. Right, ever again. I'm out. Men have we got?
We've got one to go.
Mm-hmm.
Recent?
No.
Era?
2001. But you know him well, Mark Wilson.
Andy.
I think you would have been a teammate of his at one point, yeah.
Hi.
Andy. Yeah. Andrew.
I know him well, Andy.
Teammate. Wait. Scottish internationalist.
Big Andy.
Wee Andy.
Andy.
I think it's one cap, I think a sub appearance, so much like yourself.
Andy McLaren. Yes.
Ah,
I didn't get that. Andy will be raging at didn't get it.
There we go.
Sorry,
thank
Andy.
You, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Whatever happens at Ibrox tonight, we will look back on it all tomorrow. Be interested to hear what Hugh Keevans makes of it. So make sure you join us at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And in the meantime, thanks for listening. You can watch back on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, listen back wherever you get your podcasts. And Callum is up next.